Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Yesterday we had two play-by-play calls of the day. One by Merrill Reese, the other one was forced on us in a power play move dealing with, I guess, digital sales. Is that, I don't know how you interpreted, Sean, that's how I did. But it did turn into actually being one of the more entertaining moments of yesterday's show. As for today's play-by-play call of the day, we have this.
3-2 to Goldschmidt. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed strike three. And the Dodgers, who won 104 games this year, more than anybody else, sweep the Arizona Diamondbacks, winning tonight 3-1. Next stop, back home Saturday night for the National League Championship Series.
Charlie Steiner, without referring to himself once during the course of that play-by-play cut on the Dodgers radio network. Don't laugh.
And we're about an hour and a half away from Washington and the Cubs. See if the Cubs can seal the deal.
Yeah. If you're wondering about Joe Susan, he's going to join us Thursday at 3:35. Because we did not have Joe yesterday. There was a reason for that. Practice schedule, so forth. We always want to be aware of what the coach's schedule happens to be. So,
yeah, coming off the bye week, there may be a little modification in the schedule.
Right.
Depending on game preparation, right, that kind of thing. So,
exactly.
So, but for Bucknell Bison football fans out there, if you're at or near Lewisburg tomorrow, 12 noon, you're invited to stop by, say hi to Coach Susan and some select student athletes from the football team. The annual, or I should say the weekly, Bucknell football luncheon will take place at Maddie's, just off Route 15, near Lewisburg, noon to 1. Always done by 1, since the students get back to class. So you won't be there long, but you get a great lunch and could win some Bucknell swag. Stop over, say hi to Doug Birdsong.
So the play-by-play guy goes.
Yes.
Has the analyst made it to any of the recent ones?
Oh, recent ones. No. Week one.
It's during lunchtime.
Yes.
I've got that right, correct?
Uh-huh.
Most people are free. Wow. Never goes, huh?
I always try to make myself free for it.
I know you do. You're wonderful. I mean, you're... That's, Wow. That's, doesn't go, huh? Now, the Cubs, they played really well. It's interesting, the teams that played well down the stretch, Dodgers won 8 of 10. Astros won 8 of 10. They were the only two that won 8 of their last 10 games down the stretch. And I pointed that out before the playoffs began. Washington clinched a while ago. They've been meandering, believe it or not, over the last 3 weeks. And
that was fun,
the Cubs,
that was a fun, exciting game to watch last night.
Oh, it was. Scherzer had the no-hitter going, which was great. And again, whenever they've gone to the bullpen, it's been an iffy proposition for them.
Yeah, it was a fun chess match between Dusty Baker and Joe Maddon. They bring Scherzer out, bring another pitcher in. So Maddon goes, all right, I'll change my hitter up too. I'll keep Schwarber here on the bench.
Right. Schwarber, of course, had to be relieved. He committed the error that allowed the Washington run to score. That's what opened the door.
Yeah, you brought up a great point yesterday with Matt about the managerial moves and changes. And I think that's what's really made this postseason really fun so far. I mean, you see these managers, it's barely the second, third inning. They're up there, right there along the railing on the top of the steps, leaning over. Just you just wonder who's going to make what move next.
Now, I expect in the postseason to have a shorter leash. I always expect that. And, okay, I have no problem with that. But it's been dramatic. I threw two bad pitches. I'm out. What? I threw two bad pitches. I'm out. That's it. We're done. And they've been doing it. I mean, if you're a starting pitcher, you do not have a leash. You have no leash at all. And I found that to be very interesting, how short the leash has been for especially starting pitchers. It's been a rarity when you've seen a Scherzer get into the seventh inning. It's been a rarity when you've seen like Trevor Bauer in his first start. Knows Bauer didn't go long last night. But here's Corey Kluber. He's got the ball tomorrow night. Kluber did not pitch well in Game 7 last year. This is another deciding game. And he's got to go out there for Cleveland to win. He's got to go out and be the ace that they've been portraying him to be. That'll be tomorrow night. The Yankees, I mean, the young bats, they're going right now. It's really been interesting to watch the Yankees play. The Yankees are a fun team to watch, which is very, very, very difficult for a Red Sox fan to admit on the air.
And you're to be commended you just did that.
I think my feelings just moved, but that's all right. Oh, boy. Is anybody happy out there? Oh, by the way, if you are happy, you'll be criticized for being happy. You shouldn't be happy with all the despair around. I mean, is anybody happy out there? I mean, everywhere you look, every headline is now here are the latest headlines in the NFL today. Roger Goodell, everyone should stand. Okay. NFL owners consider rule change requiring it. Quietly they tweak policy giving teams power to punish. Monday Night Football ratings fall to season low. ESPN host, quote, Jerry Jones slave owner. Joe Namath defends protests. I mean, these are the headlines. These are the headlines. Michael Wilbon, co-host of Pardon the Interruption, took issue with Jerry Jones' stance that players who do not stand for the national anthem before games will not play. And the word that comes to my mind, and I don't care who doesn't like me using it, it's plantation, said on Monday's show. The players are here to serve me, and they will do what I want. No matter how much I pay them, they are not equal to me. That's what this says to me and mine. ESPN, by the way, declined comment on his remarks. Is anybody happy out there? Anybody? You know, and we mentioned yesterday, Jamel Hill got suspended for 2 weeks. Um, I think her suspension is more of a product of, it's 140 characters, I can't explain myself. This is what I mean by that. I think if you read what she wrote, she was talking about you can hurt the pocketbook of an NFL team by targeting advertisers. In other words, not buying and also targeting them. But I think if you read it, she actually wasn't saying that's what you should do. I think she was mentioning that as that's a form of protest. Now, that's how I interpreted it. If I'm trying to be fair here to her and to everybody. And here's the exact tweet. This play always works. Change happens when advertisers are impacted. If you feel strongly about JJ's statement, Jerry Jones, boycott his advertisers. She also stated later she was not calling for a boycott. But again, in 140 characters, that's difficult. You know how I feel about Twitter. So much of what we have in technology, whether it's Twitter, text messaging, Instagram, Facebook, just to go on the internet, period, to get information, if used properly and judiciously, they're tremendous tools. Twitter can be a great way of mass communication. But there's also unintended consequences. And the unintended consequences is that in 140 characters, do you have the ability to fully explain yourself? Now, as everyone knows, I do have a Twitter account. Let's now speak to the person that uses it. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. Follow us on Twitter at Steve Jones PSU.
Right. And how often does Steve Jones post on there?
Nada.
Right. Now, you use it to promote the shows coming up and so forth. Like,
you
in
bet.
Other words,
breaking
like
news, for, Penn State football stories,
right.
And show. Absolutely.
And Sean uses it responsibly. He also knows I have veto power on anything.
You sure do.
All right. Which I've exercised how many times?
Toward me, none. As to my predecessor.
Well, yeah, but he kept wanting to put on his own personal play-by-play cuts and send them out.
I have a Twitter.
Yeah, I have a Twitter. I saw that touchdown coming. Like, I'm sure you did. I hope so. They paid you to.
I saw that tweet before you tweeted.
I saw that tweet before you tweeted. I tweeted it. That's, I thought of it myself. But maybe I don't want to say I'm lazy about it. I have no desire to be on it. How about that? Okay, let's.
You have other priorities that you concern yourself with.
Yeah,
and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
I think part of what happens with Twitter, and I'm not saying this is an absolute, but I think it's a part where, and I've talked to people in sports that use it, that are uncomfortable with it because essentially they're being told, look, you got to promote yourself and promote our paper or promote yourself and promote our broadcast or whatever by using it, getting followers. And I understand that. You know, you have to do what the company needs you to do. And I understand that. It's also a great way to get news out quickly. You mentioned in your breaking news. Well, you can get out to all your Twitter followers some slice of breaking news. You know, Adrian Peterson today getting traded to the Arizona Cardinals, right? That'd be something you tweet out as breaking news, right? So you certainly could do that. but it's also being used as a forum to consistently get out your own personal take or agenda on what's happening on the news or sports or issues of the day. And that's the part where I just sit back and say, nah, I'm out. I'd rather take the time in long form on this show to explain what I mean, why I said it, how I said it, as opposed to doing it in 140 characters, because my odds of botching it up are pretty good.
Well, we always like to use the Steve Jones PSU Twitter handle also to get just another option, you know, for folks to listen to the show, and for yesterday as well. We had an opportunity to replay your great interview with Michelle Marciniak, who next week will be on the Pedal for Pat, the Pat Summit bike ride. And actually, just a little while ago, I posted a link to our podcast interview that you did, and also a link to her GoFundMe page. And so far, she's raised over $50,000 on her own for the bike ride. Hopefully, they'll get $75,000 before she hops on the bike next week.
All right, and see, what will happen is that a lot of what we do gets retweeted. A lot of what other people are doing, we're retweeting, you know. So, I mean, we are doing that. It's not like we're not hooked up Twitter-wise to a lot of other people. I mean, you've been able to line up guests because of Twitter. So, I mean, you've used it really, really well, as opposed to the idiot you work with.
Well, that is my social media platform of choice. But you have to have... Maybe you have to have your blinders on. You have to have your filters on, because at the end of the day, anybody can tweet anything, and you just have to make sure you can separate legitimate with what's not true.
Yeah, that's when
it can get really slippery.
Right. It's not my cup of tea. It's not my bag. I'm not, you know. Plus. And like it or not, you may not like what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. But I'd rather talk about what I really know about. I'd rather talk about sports. I mean, for 2 hours, I'd like to talk about sports. I'd like to talk about the games. I know it's old-fashioned. I know that's not cutting-edge talk radio. But I still strongly believe there's a big segment of the audience that wants to do that. Take 2 hours and talk sports for a couple of hours. That's what I prefer to do. And I said before, look, I don't care if you kneel, stand, you want to be upside down in your head, whatever. You can do that. It doesn't bother me. I put my hand over my heart. As long as it doesn't bother you, it doesn't bother me. And that's the way that, you know, I'd rather take these 2 hours and talk about sports. Now, do we always have to? There's times there issues come up. We did talk about Cam Newton last week. Then we talked about when Daryl wrote a very thoughtful note to us on email. I responded to that today with his very thoughtful take, which I agree with, talking about the fact that, you know, there were certain tweets that Jordan put out a couple of years ago. So, or a few years ago, I should say. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. 800-795-9565. Thanks to Neil Coulon, who joined us in the previous half hour. And next Thursday on the show, Thursday the 19th, we have this lineup. It's already set. Jack Ham, Derek Williams, and Dick Girardi. I can live with that. Joe Souza, by the way, is going to be on Thursday's show this week. Bucknell gets ready for Cornell. Don't forget the Bucknell luncheon tomorrow, which is at what, Maddie's?
Right off Route 15 in Lewisburg, noon to 1.
Yeah.
Say hi to Doug while you're there.
Well, he'll be the one member of the broadcast crew there.
Having trouble trying to figure out what new vehicle to buy?
Stop!
SMC has all your bases covered.
Compare Ford, Lincoln, Kia, and Hyundai,
all at the dealer who has been satisfying more customers
for over 100 years.
53 Ford F-150s starting at $23,994.
Sunbury Motors has your compact SUVs covered.
46 Ford Escapes starting at $19,925.
Take 3112 off all 17 Hyundai Tucsons.
Kia Sportages start at just $23,553.
SMC has your mid-size SUV in stock. Right now, 2018 Kia Sorentos start at $24,999 with 21 Sorentos to choose from.
Take up to $49,49 off 2017 Hyundai Santa Fe Sports
and up to $5,000 off a Lincoln MKX.
Sunbury Motors has all your bases covered for your next new vehicle.
Go to sunburymotors.com to compare your next new Ford, Lincoln, Kia, or Hyundai.
Sunbury Motors, satisfying more customers, selling more cars.
A tradition of trust since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, time now for Bozo of the Day. All right, here we go. The baseball playoffs, of course, going on right now. And, of course, the criticism of Dusty Baker is that if they don't advance, he should go. Exactly what did he do wrong in yesterday's game? He made moves, Joe Madden made moves, and so forth. I mean, sometimes the other guy has better moves to make because he has better players. And by the way, they're not everybody's in favor of watching Dusty Baker go. I know I'm not.
Is the Red Sox manager going to go? I've been hearing there's a huge outcry for that, which kind of surprises me. I mean, who would they get to replace him that would be better? I'm just throwing that out there since you're the Red Sox fan. I know this kind of steers away from the Bozo segment, but I was just really surprised to hear that.
Well, I think they should keep John Farrell. I do. I was never in favor originally of getting rid of Terry Francona, but in the end, maybe for Terry Francona, it just kind of, for him personally, it kind of run the... But when they... I thought that was one of the great panic moves of all time. That when they collapsed down the stretch that year, the guy's the greatest manager in the history of the franchise. And they got rid of him. I think that's one of those moments you stand with, you know, as management, you stand together and go, nah, this was on you guys. Got to be better. And that's how I look at it. John Farrell, I would keep him. That's me, but I would keep him. I mean, changing a midstream, unless you feel the players are not hearing the message. The biggest problem, the Red Sox have had a couple problems this year. One is, and I pointed this out a couple of times, in the offseason, and I said this on the show a year ago at this time, if you recall, Sean. I was talking a year ago at this time that with David Ortiz retiring, Encarnacion needed to be the guy the Red Sox had to get in free agency. Because my thought was, it'd be it's a great luxury to have your DH be a power guy. And I thought Encarnacion, because he was with Toronto at the time, was going to be the best option. Well, guess what? He goes to Cleveland. What, he hit 34 home runs this year, 35? The Red Sox need another power bat in their lineup, which then brings us... So you lose David Ortiz. So John Farrell has no control over that. And you have a lineup where Andrew Benintendi has great potential, and at moments he flashes it, and then at other moments you're waiting for it to come back. Mookie Betts hit over 300 last year with over 30 home runs. This year he hit 263. I want to say with 24, 25 home runs. Jackie Bradley hit over 25 home runs last year. He hit 265, 270. He hit like 248 this year. So your outfield, which has great potential, all three of them, and then the other one's Xander Bogaerts. Xander Bogaerts hit 294 last year. He hit 273 this year. So you're not getting the production from the critical players. And look, it was all still good enough to win 93 games this year, too. But they never really did replace properly Ortiz. And the players around Ortiz a year ago did not have the seasons that they had a year ago. Now, maybe those were career years all at once. I don't know. But that's how I view their problems. And those are not managerial problems. You know, they had a big problem at third base with Pablo Sandoval. They spent a long time, and you know I think the world of Brock Holt. I mean, he spent the summer here in 2009. You can't be around Brock Holt and not like him. All right. So, obviously, I root for him all the time because, you know, at least I know him a little bit and know his family a little bit as well. All right, James Franklin not contemplating any changes up front with the offensive line. Talking earlier today about that. Here's the issue. Say, for example, you want to take Brendan Mann and you want to flip him over to right tackle. All right, it's not as if Mann has not played right tackle in his life. He has, and he's done a good job. But then you've got to move Michael Mennett in maybe to be that guy at right guard. So now you've got a guy playing, quote, out of position at right tackle. You've got somebody who doesn't have a lot of game experience now playing right guard. And then McGovern, who's probably had a pretty good sync, I think, with Mann a good chunk of the year, now is getting used to somebody else playing over there. So when you do that, there's a lot of moving parts. And that's what I think makes them uncomfortable about making any moves. So the key is getting Chaz Wright healthier. And this bye week will be invaluable for that. And then work with Bates, Gonzalez, McGovern, Mann, and Chaz Wright. The right tackle spots had three starters in six games. So don't expect any moves there with the offensive line. It's just not going to happen. That doesn't mean Fries won't play some. It doesn't mean Mennett won't play some. Especially Fries. Fries will get a lot of playing time. But when it comes to making moves up front, I think they would really like to see these five guys and then mix in a Fries and somebody else along the line to blend together and give them a good offensive line moving forward. So don't expect any changes at all up front. That they will be going in that direction. At least that's the direction they want to go in, having Wright start over there. And they might get, we'll see what happens with Nelson. They might get Nelson back. And Nelson can play either right tackle or right guard. He can play either one. So that's just a quick pickup from his Big Ten teleconference today, discussing that. So, I know a lot of people have wondered, but again, there's no magic wand solution to this. Part of this is to look at the other four parts and say, okay, do we need to break up the other four parts to fix the fifth? And I don't think there's any great desire on their part to break up the other parts. And I also think that they have an opportunity with the bye week to get this part settled down. Because they can be a good offensive line. They can be. And obviously the place-kicking part, they've got to get that part straightened out. You can't be below the Mendoza line in field goal attempts. You want to be able to... You want to be able to drive the ball to the 30-yard line and feel pretty good about the fact, okay, now we're going to get some points out of this drive. Now it depends on 7 or 3. But once you get it to the 30-yard line, especially if you get it to the 25-yard line, you've really got to be confident you're getting points out of the drive. So you can't have that queasy feeling when you send the field goal unit out, because all the other parts of special teams have been dynamic. I mentioned on yesterday's show, Penn State has a 1,058-yard field position advantage over the opponent. That is an average of 173 yards a game in field goal in field position average. That's a 173-yard a game advantage. That's gigantic. In 14 and 15, James Franklin's first 2 years, Penn State was on the minus side of that field position number. And I talked about it repeatedly, that was a huge issue. That you have to be really good giveaway takeaway, and you have to be really good in field position. That part of football, despite the changes in offenses and RPOs and things like that, that part has never changed. That usually if you win the field position battle, and usually if you win the turnover battle, you're going to win games. Penn State's a 1,058-yard advantage through six games, 173 yards a game in their favor on field position. And they're also a plus 12 giveaway takeaway in six games. That's an average of plus 2 a game. And Penn State has already scored 80 points off of takeaways this year. Last year, which was a terrific year, they had 83 points total off of takeaways last year. So that's been a huge plus for them. They've also been forcing teams, for the most part, to play from behind. So they're playing uphill when it comes to the score. They're playing uphill in terms of the length of the field. They're playing uphill in terms of the mistakes. That's how you keep winning games. You're winning games because you're taking pretty good care of the ball and you're getting takeaways. You're winning games because your drive starts are giving you 2/3 of the field to negotiate while they need 80% of the field to negotiate. You're winning games because you're in front and they've got the mental anguish of trying to play from behind. Oh, and by the way, when Penn State did fall behind and had to make some plays, they did. And that's the confidence they garnered from last year. So that's where they are right now. That's been, you know, we could talk about this player's done that, this unit's done that, this unit's done. Everything's worked together. Let's talk about field position for a moment. Well, you know, the punt team and the defense, they create field position. Okay, that's part of it. But what if you, your offense, you get the ball at the 25-yard line, you get two first downs, you're out to the 45, then things stall out and you dump the ball inside the 15. Well, the offense gets two first downs, changes the field position, which then changes the punt, which then means the defense goes out with more field in back of them. So there's little things like that that are happening that are creating a really nice sink on the field. And the great part about it for Penn State is that they have not topped out. They have not topped out at all. They can be better. We've talked about the place-kicking game. Can be better. We've talked about the offensive line play. Can be better. Now, are they capable of having better place kicking? No question. We witnessed it last year. It's the same guy. We've witnessed it with him 2 years in a row. It's the same guy. So you know they can be better. Offensive line, can they be better? Yes. Bates is a good player. Mann's a good player. Wright's finally, I think, going to get healthy out of this. Gonzalez has had some really good moments. So is McGovern. So they can be. It's always important to sit there and you ask yourself, are your issues that you've identified correctable? Now, if you look at it and say, oh man, I don't know, it's not correctable, now you have a huge problem. Penn State doesn't have that problem because Penn State's, quote, issues that they have, that they look at, they are correctable. And that's a really good scenario for an undefeated football team. They are not looking at issues that are not correctable. And they also have the kind of schedule where they now control their own destiny. This is what you want. You've played a half season so far, and you haven't stumbled. You survived and advanced every week, and each week you continue to control your own destiny, and you have the schedule that allows you to do it. That's what's been fun about this, realizing that they do. And I said this back in August, Sean, right? I said maybe, what, July, August, whatever. I said the neat thing about Penn State is they control their own destiny.
Absolutely.
Right? This is not like other schools. Other schools, for example, you feel like they're really good, but they don't quite control their own destiny. And then Baker Mayfield, and I completely understand why he said this. He's the quarterback at Oklahoma. He's the leader. He said, basically, we control our own destiny to get to the playoff. And Baker, and I don't blame him at all for saying that, but he's not right. Oklahoma lost. And because they lost, they need help to get there. They don't have enough meat on the bone to be a one-loss Big 12 team cracking the top four if all four teams in the top four are undefeated. They're going to need people to lose, which means they don't control their own destiny. All right. Looking forward to tomorrow. Great to have you with us today. Great to have you back, Sean. Great to know Deb's doing a lot better.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.